It's good to see each one here this morning. October, it was either the 10th or the 11th. I woke up with the message that Brother Savage had preached years ago on the four generations. Remember the four little chairs. And I woke him up and I said, tell me about these four chairs. And we talked a little bit. I didn't come to school that day. I stayed home and I prayed and I sought God all day. That Saturday morning, we went over to Brother Matt Jones, Matt Homer's, and the brother got up and preached. And it was almost the same thing that God had given me. I haven't been able to get it off of my heart. I haven't been able to get away from it. And I thought, well, I'm not going to say anything. I'll just wait to be asked. But I didn't get asked. So I just asked them. I love every one of you. And we're happy for all of our visitors this morning. You're my family. You're my people. But Massanova, this message is to us this morning. It's to me and Brother Savage. It's to all of us this morning. So if you say you're talking to me, you're right. I am. Because it's to every one of us this morning. And I love every one of you. But Massanova needs a healing today. We need help. We need help from God. Every one of us, we need help from God this morning. You've heard over and over, through the years, you've heard messages about Azusa Street. 1906. How the Spirit of the Lord fell. How that people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And how they begin to hunger for the things of God. They didn't know much. And this was all new to them. But they sought God with all of their heart. There became such a hunger in their heart that other things didn't mean anything to them. They didn't care about going to the places around them where they were going or doing any of those things. All that they wanted to do was to pray and to hunger after God. But I'm afraid today, we have lost our hunger for the things of God. We have lost our hunger for the things of God. You don't have to stand because I'm going to give you several different scriptures throughout my talking to you this morning. But in the book of Proverbs, in the 29th chapter, Now, this is a verse that most of you are familiar with. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, people perish. And one of the Hebrew meanings for the word perish is go back. Without a vision, people go back. Help us, Lord. They go back, brother. They go back to the things that they come out of. They lose that hunger. They lose that drive for God. And they go back. People that have had convictions, and this is what happened even in the Azusa Street revival. People had convictions as they prayed and they sought God. God gave them convictions, and the things that God convicted them of, they laid them down and they didn't pick them back up. But some of us right here that have made statements, well, God convicted me of, and you've gone and picked those things up. You know what's happened? You're going back. You're going back. Oh no, Sister Savage, I'm not going back. Yes, you are. You're going back. When we begin to take on the spirit of the world, we're going back. Amen. When we have time to go to Walmart and the malls and out to eat and all these other things we have time to do, but we don't have time to get down and have a real storming heaven or prayer meeting, we're going back. Help us, God. Amen. How long's it been since we've had an all-night prayer meeting? Oh, yes. How long's it been that we were so hungry for God that we said, I'm sorry, I can't go with you. I've got to pray. We're going back. The first generation Christians, they prayed until they got a hold of God. They prayed till God spoke to their hearts. They prayed till they loved everybody. They prayed until they had such a hunger to witness to the lost. I was telling some of the ladies this morning. Some of you have heard Brother Savage in preaching talk about Sister Puckett. She was one of our elderly ladies in Texas. And when she got to the place that she was an invalid, she couldn't get out of bed. She would take the phone directory and she'd start praying, and her finger running down the pages. Her eyes closed until she knew or felt stop. And she would stop and look where her finger had stopped. And she would call that person. She didn't know who they were, but she called them and told them about Jesus. How many of us has done that lately? How many of us have stood at the doors at Walmart and handed out tracts? Do you know Jesus? Without a vision, men perish. For without a vision, we don't want to look out. And therefore, we go back because we don't have a burden. We go back. How many here this morning, and you don't have to raise your hands, but how many this morning have been out this week knocking doors or calling people and seeing how many people that you could bring to church? Going back. We've lost our burden. We've lost our vision. Oh, how we need to be stirred. How we need to be stirred. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, and the 9th verse, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Teach them to your sons and to your sons' sons the things of how God met us, the things that God did for us. But how many of us have forgot ourselves, the blessings that we once had? How many of us remember the times when we were lost in the Spirit? And begin to sing in the Spirit. How many of you remember the times when you had to be carried home because you was lost in the Spirit? Massanova, we need to wake up. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's me, Lord. It's me. We can't point our finger at anybody else. Just point at your own self this morning. It's me, Lord. In Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, the the second verse. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people. People unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. God didn't call us to be like the world. God didn't tell us to look like the world. God called us to be a peculiar people. A people that sometimes people may even laugh at. But we're to be a peculiar people, a holy people, separated unto God. In the middle of the Azusa Street revival, the great outpouring, one of the big newspapers there in Los Angeles sent out this journalist to write a report on this revival. This man was not a Christian, but he come and laughed. And he thought, my, this is just hilarious. I've never seen nothing like this, and this is supposed to be worship. Until a woman gave a message in his language. And he knew that this was an unlearned woman. And that message was given. He understood every word. And it was to him. God talking to him to give his heart to God. And he knew that it was real. It was real. Hallelujah. And he went back to his boss. And he said, I can write an article about that revival. But said, it won't be a slanted one. It won't be what you wanted me to write. Those people have heard from heaven. You know what? He lost his job. Yeah, lost his job. But he had heard from God. Most of our first generation Christians have already deceased. I'm talking about here at Massanova. But we have some second generations and we have some third. Brother Roy was a great first generation Christian. Brother Gary, Brother Forrest, you're second generation. But let me ask the question, and I'm not meaning to embarrass you at all. But have you learned to pray like your daddy prayed? Only you can answer that. Have you learned to get a hold of the horns of the altar and hold on until you heard from God? Or is it this morning you just come to church because mom and dad told you to come? And you've prayed, but you've never got that first generation experience. Have you been able to tell your children about the blessings of God and the experience when you get shut in with God and how marvelous it feels to have God talking to you. Have you been able to tell your grandchildren, which is the next generation? Have you been able to tell them about the things of God and the power of God? Let's narrow it on down to the rest of us here too. Did we stop going to the movies because parents told us you don't go to the movies? Or have we stopped going to the movies because God put it in our heart? We're not of the world. We're a peculiar people. We don't go there. What about it, church? What have you told your children and your grandchildren? Have you told them, we don't go there because we're God's people? And yet, today, what are we doing? We're setting them in front of computers. We're setting them in front of DVDs. We're going down to the stores and buying movies and bringing them home and letting the kids sit there and watch them. On Fox News this morning, there was a man. He is over the VeggieTales. Y'all may be familiar with them. I'm not. And I'm just telling you what he said. He's the one that does the VeggieTales. But he said, I am afraid that we have allowed our children to sit in front of the TV and watch these kids' programs. He said, most children get 8 hours a day of that. And yet, how many go to church and only get, what, an hour on Sunday in church hearing about Jesus Christ and what he did? That wasn't a man in our ranks, but a man that has seen what is happening. We are letting these things babysit for us. And we're not telling them the things of God and what God did for us and what God's going to do for us. Amen. Massanova, we need to pray. One thing I like about going to Brother Noah Phillips' church, some of you have been there. When the men, when they go and sit on the platform, their little sons go sit with them. Brother Donnie, isn't that right? When the men go to the altar to pray, those little boys go and they're right around their daddies praying. The girls sit with their mama, and when the mama gets down to pray, those kids get around their mama praying. They're taught the value of prayer and the value of hearing their daddy with their own ears pray. When Radonna And Glenn was here. Brother Baker got down and prayed. Glenn's a Catholic. Brother Baker prayed. And it made such an impression on Glenn. He said, oh, that man, the way he talked to God. He had never heard anything like that. How many of us really pray? I don't think we do. You know why? Because a 10-second prayer meeting around these altars is not praying. Oh, no. What happened to the times that we would come to the altars and we would pray 30 and 40 minutes around the altar seeking God and hungering after God? Massanova, I'm talking to you. Or I'm talking to us. I'm included. We are never going to be what God wants us to be till we learn once more to pray. We will never see our families really seeking God until we ourselves learn to pray. Why aren't we seeing more people filled with the Holy Ghost? Because there's no hunger for the Holy Ghost. No hunger. We need God. We need God. You can shake your hands and say, well, you're talking to somebody else. No, I'm talking to you. We need God this morning. Deuteronomy 5. Verse 29, and I want you to get a hold of this verse. This is the Lord talking. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments. Always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Oh, God, give us a heart to fear you and to keep your commandments. I'm afraid we've lost the heart. Because people don't fear God anymore. They can walk right out these doors and they can go on and do things that they know is not right or pleasing with God. We don't have a heart to serve God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Our zeal is gone. Our drive is gone. And I know people get sick. I know people get tired. When you work on the job, yes, you get tired. But that's no excuse. It didn't hinder our first generation Christians that walked to church. after working in the fields all day long. No, it didn't hinder them. Don't turn me off here. Don't turn me off. Massanova, we need to be awakened. Some of you are doing things today that you would not have done years back. And you're going places that you would not have gone, but you are today. And I keep hearing the words, social drinking. It's not right. I don't care who you are. It's not right. It's time to go forward for God. Abraham was a first generation. And you know what Abraham did? He built altars. Everywhere he'd go, he'd build an altar. He had learned the secret of prayer and consecration. Amen. Prayer. We have got to pray. But he didn't just pray. He didn't just build an altar. And you know, an altar is also a place where we just lay ourselves there and we're slaughtered. We let God just slaughter us there. Take my will, take my way, take my mind, take my thinking, everything. It's yours. But he did something else. He dug wells. And you see, digging wells didn't just help him out, but it helped others out. So, after he'd built an altar, he didn't just think about himself. He dug wells that he could help somebody else. Self-sacrifice, self-denial. Oh, yes. Brother and Sister Pace, you was brought up in this. You know what old-time holiness is about. They called us old fogies. They called, as a young girl, they called me an old fogie because I didn't dress like them. And I still don't. A pastor's wife. Just the other night, she said, Brother Savage has the prettiest town. And I thanked her. She says, but you know what? My son is only 22 years old and said, he's just wearing those old fogey ties. And I don't think Brother Savage looks out of the way. Now, if he gets under conviction about it this morning, he'll have to take it off. But she says he just wears those old ties like his grandpa used to wear. And I looked at her and I said, did you ever think that he might be trying to be more conservative? And she says, well, no, I never thought about that. you know, we are living in a day, if you turn your news on or read your newspaper, all you hear, liberal and conservative. That's all you hear. Liberal and conservative. And we in the church will say, oh, well, I don't want them as president. They're so liberal. And yet in the church, we have become so liberal. In the church world. In the church world. People will say, well, I see other people doing like that, and they're Christians. God never told us to examine ourselves or measure ourselves by somebody else, but by God's Word. By God's Word. Greg, it made me feel good last week when Marty was asking about the different ones and was able to tell him, Greg's in church. He's in church, and he's the Sunday school superintendent. He's got a little boy. But you know how it hurts to have to say, when he would ask us about some and say, well, they're out. Oh, how it hurts. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen to your little boy. But keep the standard of holiness and pray and teach that little Wyatt to pray and to seek God. We've got that responsibility. What are we teaching our teenagers, our younger ones, our babies? What are we teaching them today? Are we teaching them holiness? Only you can answer that, what you're teaching them. Only you can answer that. Are you teaching them that going places is more important than coming to the house of God? That's not a very good example, I tell you. How we need to pray. The Pentecostal movement has rich history. And it all goes back to prayer. How many of us have forgotten how to pray? Oh, how many of us are so hungry for God? How many of us praise God, shape me into your character? Make me to have your character, Lord. I want to be like you. I want your integrity. I want to do what you want me to do. But you know what's happened? Today, we have forgot what the word repentance means. And we don't want to repent and say, God, forgive me and help me to do better. We're afraid of what somebody else will say. Well, what's people going to say when they see you going into hell? God. worship? Do we only worship when the song leader's up there pumping us? Do we only worship when we can pat our feet and clap our hands? Or can we be like Isaiah when he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and there were seraphims all around, and they begin to say, holy, 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 hallelujah. Have we lost our worship? Oh, God. There's two types of towers that the Bible talks to us about. There's one that's called the strong tower, and the which is a shelter and a tower from the enemy. Then there's the slight tower, which is a watchtower. A tower of refuge to the surrounding inhabitants in case of invasion. But what kind of towers are we today? What kind of a tower is Massanova? Which actually, the slight tower is referred to as the church. Are we a refuge from the enemy? But I'm afraid our Pentecostal movement is at the crossroad. We're at the crossroad. And we're either going to pray and really seek God, or Massanova will be like any other church. I prayed, God, don't let me say more than you would have me to say. And don't let me say less than you would have me to say. But as I told you earlier, since October the 10th, this has been burning in my soul. I have delivered to you what God has given to me. Now it's up to you what you do with it. We can come to this altar this morning and we can just say a few little prayers to ourselves under our breath. Or we can come to this altar and say, God, forgive me. Help me to be the Christian you want me to be. Help me to pray and help me to win the lost. It's up to you now. I've obeyed God. I've obeyed God over many tears. Over many tears. Because you see, I love every one of you. And you are my people. But I don't want you to go to hell. And that's where we're going to go if we don't learn to pray. It's up to you now.